And we're joined now by our weekly political contributors, David Brooks of The New York Times and E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post. Welcome to both of you.
Good to be with you.
So Ben Bernanke there in Frankfurt implicitly pointing a finger at China, also European leaders taking a pretty dim view of the Fed's decision that we were just hearing about to buy up $600 billion in assets. And also, David, here at home, Republican leaders in the House sending a letter to Ben Bernanke criticizing that same monetary policy. Are they, do you think, politicizing something that shouldn't be political?
No. Fed policies are always widely discussed. Alan Greenspan was widely discussed. Paul Volcker was widely discussed. The Republican argument, and I'm not qualified to judge its merits, is that you don't create prosperity through devaluations, through this sort of fiddling with the currency. What you do is you create distortions in the market and you raise risk down the road. It's a perfectly legitimate argument about risk down the road. We're also seeing a deterioration in the global system where you see a series of unilateral actions, which is causing sort of this war of words.
And EJ, foreign criticism over not just economic policy, but look, the president didn't get a free trade agreement with South Korea last week. Now he's in Lisbon for the NATO meeting facing discontent over Afghanistan. What's happened to that wellspring of international goodwill toward President Obama, do you think?
Well, I want to go back to Bernanke because Bernanke is right across the board, and it's pure chutzpah. That's a technical economic term for China, the world's leading manipulator of currency values, to accuse Bernanke of committing the sin they're wallowing in. And the Fed does and should have an obligation to fight unemployment and boost the economy. I think Republicans who are saying the Fed has to stop worrying about unemployment have forgotten the 1930s. It would be better if Congress could pass more stimulus measures. I think Bernanke is basically telling everyone who thinks the economy doesn't need more stimulated, David, take note, that they're wrong. In terms of Obama in Europe, Europeans have felt for a long time, I was here a year ago, the day he got the Nobel Prize, that Obama cares a lot more about Asia than about Europe. They may be right about that, but that it does cause Obama some problems in Europe, and that's why it's good that he's over there to try to repair some of this. Obviously, the election didn't help his standing in the world, and maybe that shouldn't be the case, but I think election results have that effect on leaders.
And David, what's your take on what's going on with the New START treaty, the arms control deal with Russia that's tangled up in the Senate? Republican Senator John Kyle says there's not enough time to consider it. Is this Republican obstructionism for the sake of obstructionism? What's going on?
I actually think more or less it is. I don't think the START treaty is that big a deal. It'll reduce our missiles from somewhere around 1,700 to about 1,550. It's not a huge deal. I don't think it'll have a huge effect on our safety. But it does sort of improve relations with Russia. It's a nice thing to get done. And I frankly don't understand the Republican objections. Partly they want to object to everything that the president does. Partly that it seems like sort of a Cold War show of machismo. There is some substantive argument about whether that we should be funding our current nuclear arsenal better. But I do think it's a bit of an overreaction to a measure that is more or less harmless. And the atmospherics of the negotiation probably help us with Russia in the long term.
EJ?
You know, Robert Kagan, I think David is broadly right, and I don't know why the Republicans have chosen this fight except to stick it to Obama in some way. Bob Kagan, one of the leading neoconservative foreign policy thinkers, wrote in the Washington Post that Republicans should approve this. It's not a threat to our security, and that blocking it will actually strengthen Vladimir Putin. I don't think Senator John Kyle, who is the leading voice to try to block this, wants to be part of a Kyle-Putin alliance. I hope they back off this position.
Now, Congress is on its Thanksgiving break, but they'll be back on the 29th to pick up the lame duck session. EJ, you were wondering in your column this week whether this will be not just a lame duck, but also a spineless lame duck. And you're talking about the Democrats.
Yeah, so I argued that they had to prove that their spines weren't made out of Play-Doh. And at least one measure of that for me is whether they somehow capitulate to extending the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy and let Congress go home without extending unemployment benefits. The Republicans blocked the extension of unemployment benefits in the House. They're going to run out for 2 million people over the holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to all. I mean, this is a real outrage. Congressman Mike Pence said, well, we have to find a way to pay for unemployment insurance extensions. But they're not saying that about tax cuts for the rich. I think this is really making Scrooge look like a philanthropist, a generous philanthropist.
David?
EJ was all pro-stimulus about 2 minutes ago until we got to tax cuts for the business, small business owners. Listen, I guess I think they should extend all the tax cuts for 2 years and then get rid of all of them because they're all unaffordable. I do think they should wrap in the unemployment extension as part of that. One of the things I've been picking up, though, we've had all this talk this week about all these deficit-cutting fiscal commissions. Mm-hmm. So I've spent the week talking to members about whether there's any political will to do any of this in the real world, and the short answer is no in both parties. There is no political will on either party, and that's been the most depressing news of the week for me.
For any of the big stuff you're talking about.
Right, for any sort of big tax reform, for cutting entitlements, for cutting some of the tax breaks, for health care, for Social Security. There is no political will to do anything that might be painful.
By the way, I'd be happy to replace the tax cuts for the rich for a year or two with a payroll tax cut, which would create a lot more jobs than cutting taxes for the wealthiest Americans.
So, David, you agree with David that the deficit plans that are being put forth, they're basically going nowhere?
I think that's probably right. I think it's an interesting challenge. The plan that Erskine Bowles and former Senator Simpson put out is a really conservative plan. And I think it's going to be an interesting challenge. Does John Boehner pick up on Nancy Pelosi's promise to bring this to a vote if a proposal gets 14 votes from the Deficit Commission? I think that'll be one test of seriousness. But at this point, we can't even be certain if the Deficit Commission is going to get 14 votes.
Okay. EJ and David, have a nice weekend.
Thank you.
EJ Dionne is a columnist for The Washington Post. David Brooks is a columnist with The New York Times.